The Baltimore City Council voted last night to send a tax financing package for the proposed Port Covington development project to a final vote at their meeting next week. But last night's vote did not happen without concerns from some council members about how fast the process moved at the end. To explain what happened, WYPR's Kenneth Burns is on the line. Good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning.
So what are the concerns?
The concerns are twofold. First, the fact that the process felt rushed towards the end. If you recall last week, Councilman Carl Stokes, who oversaw the bills as committee chairman, adjourned the meeting before he called a vote on the bond bill. This is the bill authorizing the $660 million in bonds for the project. Councilman Eric Costello this past weekend gained the support of the majority of the council to put the bond bill before the full council last night. The ones who did not sign the petition were Stokes, Councilman Bill Henry, Warren Branch, and Mary Pat Clark. The other concern was that council members did not have all of the information they were requesting, specifically the final community benefits agreement that was announced hours before the committee meeting took place.
There were no votes against the tax financing package last night, but there were three abstentions. Who abstained and why?
It was Henry, Branch, and Clark who abstained on each vote. Remember, we're talking about three bills here. The bond bill that was petitioned to the full council, along with the bills creating the development and taxing districts to make the TIF possible. Councilwoman Clark said there was nothing to address a prevailing wage during the construction, a livable wage for the jobs at the site after Port Covington is built out, nothing on a project labor agreement or about the right for project workers to organize. On top of that, she felt that because of the size of the TIF, which is the largest in city history, by the way, she said the bill should have been looked at more closely and with a little bit more time.
This is a 40-year project. Things we don't fix now, we'll never have a chance to fix, like living wage for post-construction workers over there.
Clark said a lot of progress was made during the negotiations, but things stopped too soon. Now, in the case of Councilman Henry, he would have liked to see the community agreement along with the profit sharing agreement before the bond bill was even voted out of committee.
I just thought we moved a little fast. I didn't want to vote against the project because I don't think it's a bad project, but I think that the process could have been a little bit better.
Process notwithstanding, Henry also said the Port Covington project is potentially transformative.
Councilman Stokes also expressed some reservations about the bills, but he ended up voting in favor of the TIF.
Yes, he did. In fact, before the council meeting, Stokes said that he was going to take Kevin Plank, who owns Sagamore Development, at his word that the community agreement was going to be honored and that school funding from the state would be protected. He expressed that concern at the committee meeting last week that because of the size of the TIF, he was concerned that the state funding of the city school system would be harmed. In fact, he said several times during a news conference that he was good. He also said that the bond bill being petitioned out of his committee over his head flew in the face of good order and rule of law, quote unquote, and that no one had a copy of the community agreement.
Now, City Council President Jack Young was one of those who joined Costello in petitioning the bond bill out of committee. You had a chance to ask Young his thoughts on some of his colleagues' concerns, and he said the committee had a lot of time to scrutinize the TIF, right?
He did, and he emphasized that when I asked him.
I think I gave ample enough time, 4 months, you know, and they were at the negotiation table for nine weeks or something, nine weeks, you know.
Young made it clear that he wanted a deal that was good for Baltimore at the end of the day. And many say between him and Stokes, that's what they got. So you now have this precedent that's been set for the next big TIF that happens to come along in Baltimore, that there must be something in it for the city before it even passes.
Still a final vote yet to take place. When's that going to happen?
September 19th, that's next Monday on your calendar. All three bills are up for a final vote, and all three are expected to pass.
And you'll bring us an update on that next week?
Bright and early.
Kenneth Burns is WYPR's Metro reporter. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Nathan.